to have been able to continue our Talmud Torah in such a meaningful way at such an important time. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Al Shlosh Dvarim Ha'olam Kayim. Many of the Rishonim point out, Rabbeinu Yonah points this out, the tour, actually, in the first siman of Choshen Mishpat, the section of Shulchan Aruch that deals with business law, begins with comparing this to the Mishnah of Shimon HaTzadik, Al Shlosh Dvarim Olam Omed. And they all essentially make the same point, that the earlier Mishnah was asking a fundamental question. Why was the world created? And the world was created so people should have the opportunity to perform acts of chesed. The world was created so that people will have the opportunity to serve God. The world was created that people should have the opportunity to study Torah. But now we're asking a different question. What are the basic building blocks of a society? How is it that society is supposed to function? Al shlosha dvarim ha'olam kayam. So the world runs on three things. Number one, al hadin, and there has to be law, and there has to be respect for law. You can disagree, people can argue, laws can be overturned. We have a judiciary system, but dinim is not just a Jewish concept. We know it's one of the mitzvos b'nei Noach. There's a disagreement between Rambam and Ramban. What's the scope of dinim for b'nei Noach? The Rambam says it's to enforce the other six, essentially. And the Ramban says it's an entire system of civil law. Because society needs law, and laws need to be respected, and law enforcement needs to be respected. And when people don't respect laws, especially when it's, you know, part of this like exaggerated sense of, you know, tyranny, and you know, again, people can express their opinions, but when it, you know, becomes a kind of an anarchy, it's obviously extremely dangerous. This is part of one of the themes of a Mishnah later on in Pirkei Avos, when we're told his palel b'shlomo shel malchus, that we have to pray for the government, no matter what kind of government it really is, shel malei mora, because if there isn't a reverence for a system of law, ish esreihu chayim blao, you're living in the state of nature, you're living in a situation, and don't think it's impossible. Do not think it's impossible, where there's a complete breakdown of society. And people are literally called alam gavar, as we say. Whoever is stronger gets their way and might makes right. And people are, in the end, afforded no protections whatsoever. Society just cannibalizes itself. So that's number one, you know, al hadin. And then there's al ha'emes. You know, society needs truth to function. And again, everybody has an agenda. And everybody, you know, is sort of blind to their own prejudices, etc. But that is true of people in positions of authority as well. People have all kinds of negios. People have their own personal interests. And therefore, there's a great temptation to try to whitewash, in some cases, and from every direction, what the MS is, or to try to exaggerate, put the thumbs on the scales of MS. But the truth is, for society to function, society really needs truth. It needs to be clear what the facts are, and to try to, even if those facts can be at times very disconcerting, to be able to come up with responsible policies and responses. So there has to be MS. If there's no MS, so then, again, you don't even know what you're dealing with. You're just groping around in the dark. And that's part of, you know, I guess what's made this country such a beautiful place for such a long time, is that in their wisdom, you know, the founders recognized that the press had a very important role to play. And there's certainly been moments in American history, you think back to the Spanish flu, Woodrow Wilson basically forbade any discussion of what was going on because he deemed it that it was not going to serve the interests of the war, World War I at the time. So there's certainly been moments throughout American history we haven't lived up to this ideal, but the founders recognized that the press had a very important role to play, if played correctly, in terms of presenting MS so that people would be able to engage in the process of self-government. So that's number two, al ha-MS, and number three, al ha-shalom. Now, sometimes these values can sort of be conflicting with each other. MS means the cold, hard truth. Shalom means a way of getting along. The Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin and Dav Zayin says, wait a second, b'makom sheyesh emes ein shalom. If you're going to tell the truth, you know, people are going to, you know, have their feelings hurt. And if there's going to be shalom, there's not emes, right? Shalom always, very often involves mishanin, as we say, mishum hashalom, that sometimes we'll, you know, try to soften things a little bit, put things in a euphemistic way or whatever it is to try to avoid confrontation. So shalom sometimes comes at the expense of emes, right? That's famous machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Let's say you're at a wedding and the kala isn't the most beautiful kala in the world. So Beis Shammai says, emes, kala kamo shehi, midvar sheker tirchak. You're not allowed to say one nice word if it's not true, if it's an exaggeration. You know what Beis Hillel says? Kala noa v'chasuda, no matter what. And again, some people say because there has to be something beautiful about her, but the simple interpretation is that sometimes, you know, shalom and other values are going to be more important than emes. But the Gemara in Sanhedrin says you can have your cake and eat it too. Because the truth of the matter is that emes and shalom can coexist with something called pshara, bitsua, compromise. When not everybody tries to, you know, take all of the points, everybody says, look, there's going to have to be compromise for society to get along. It wasn't always a dirty word, by the way. It wasn't always something, you know, to be ashamed of, that you compromise. Doesn't mean that you're not a principled person, but sometimes compromise itself can be a principle. You recognize there's going to be differences. There are going to be reasonable people who disagree, who have to agree to disagree. And there's going to be different cultures and different ways of thinking about things. And if there's going to be any progress, it can't be this zero-sum, winner-takes-all mentality of us against them. When you think about the world that way, then in the end, it's the worst of all worlds because, you know, one side wins for now until the other side gets more power and then crushes the other guy. And then, you know, it's this endless cycle of just trying to get back in power so you could just, you know, destroy. And look what's happened to us. You know, look what, especially in recent years. And you would think that if there was one thing that, you know, could get people to take politics out of a discussion, it would be a virus that is completely non-discriminatory in terms of its partisan, you know, affiliations. And it's still that same way. It's just a shocking thing, you know. Go on the different news sites, it'd be like you're living in two different countries in terms of what's being reported. It's very dispiriting in a certain sense that people have lost all sight of pshara. And it's like a team sport. It's like I happen to be a Yankee fan, right? So I don't stop rooting for the Yankees, you know, even if they're not so good, right? You know, and that's sad because, you know, really important things are on the table. So just to conclude, the Bar Tanura points out something very important. It's not just shalom, you know, at the level of governments and at the macro level, but it's, of course, shalom at the micro level. He says, ben amalchios, and also ben adam lechavero. You know, it's not enough to, you know, be a lover of peace when it comes to, the United Nations and the international scene. You have to actually love people and you have to work for it, you know, on a person by person, micro, case by case level. So, Al Hadin, Al Ha'emes, Al Ha'shalom, Shenemar, Emes, Mishpat Shalom, Shiftu, Bisharechem. And that brings us to the conclusion of the first parak of Pirkei Avos. And like I said, it's such a zechus that we've been able to continue learning in the morning in Tehillim, in the afternoon Pirkei Avos. We wish we could be together in person, and you know, when it's the right time, we certainly will be. But it's been extremely meaningful to be able to continue learning, as we always do, between Mincha and Maariv, and to everybody who's been participating, you know, in these, I wouldn't call them minyanim, but group davening. It's been a very important source of chizuk. I could speak personally. And I know on the communal level, for even those who are not here with us right now, the fact that this is going on is very meaningful to people well beyond the confines of this particular Zoom space, to know that the shul and the shul community continues to daven together and continues to learn together is a very, very important thing.